Good morning and Merry Christmas. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Feels like most of you, we just left. We should have just had a big sleepover last night, but all the pizza shops were closed. We tried, but good morning. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I say it every single Sunday that I have the privilege of being up here. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. And as far as I can remember, this is my first time I get to preach on a Christmas Eve Sunday morning. And it's exciting to be able to be here with you all and on such a joyous morning that we get to celebrate the birth of our King. And it's a little bit of a different morning, because we're not going to have a preaching per se. We're just going to have a time of devotion together. We're just going to open the Word of God, and we're just going to read, and we're just going to share devotion to God together. And when we devote ourselves to Him, it just shows our adoration, our love, our commitment. And God, just have your way. Just speak to us through your word this morning. Show us what you want to show us. And my prayer leading up to last night and morning was just that we would all recognize what this season's all about. And obviously last night was all about the light of the world, and He is the light, and what that light provides. It provides us direction, it provides us hope, it provides us comfort and peace. And there were so many people that I believe walked in darkness last night and at all four of our locations, and they walked out with hope. They walked out with light. There were 918 people at church last evening across all four locations. That's something to celebrate. And that means there's 918 stories of what Jesus Christ did in the lives of His children last night. And there's some children last night that came home. They came home. I got to pray with two of them specifically. And the story, the testimony behind those two is amazing. So I just want to pray, and then we'll jump in. But Father God, I thank You so much for what You've done, what You're doing, what You're going to do. Lord, I thank You that we get to gather here today in celebration of the birth of our Savior. Lord, may we never forget the greatest gift that You gave to us. And Lord, I thank You for all that are in this place today that have received that gift. I thank You for all that are in this place this morning that may receive that gift for the first time. Lord, I thank You for all that are in this place today that may have tried to return that gift, and they're going to pick it back up today. Lord, have Your way this morning. In Jesus' glorious name, amen. All right, quick question. If you've ever heard me preach before, you know I like audience participation. So that means if I ask a question, I expect an answer. This is specifically for the guys in the room. How many of you are going to start Christmas shopping this afternoon when you leave here? 1, 2, 3, 4. We got 4. Do I have a fifth? Do I have a fifth? So that means last night you started thinking about it, and today you're going to seamlessly complete the plan. That's awesome. That leads me into my next statement. There is hope for you. There is hope for you. And the reason I know there's hope is because of the verses we're going to read today. And it has nothing to do with what you're going to purchase or what you're going to unwrap later today or tomorrow. It has nothing to do with the ham that's in the oven or on the smoker. It has everything to do with Jesus. It has nothing to do with all the stuff. It has everything to do with Jesus. And this is coming from a man that is a recovering. It had everything to do with everything else. 19 years ago, my life was changed because I met Jesus in a real way. And Christmas changed forever thereafter. it stopped becoming about the stuff and it started becoming about him. And it's my prayer that we all recognize that the hope of the world is him. And as we read these 20 verses in Luke 2, I want us to be able to read them with a little bit of a different perspective than we might have ever read them before. And we're going to walk through all 20 verses, and then we're going to share a devotion together. We're just going to let the verses speak this morning. Amen. I have no PowerPoint. I have no bullet points. I have no cute little quotes for you unless they come out. Okay, so you're going to have to take old-fashioned notes. There's no pictures of the screen for you today. So let's read. Luke 2, starting in verse 1. The verses will pop up behind me, but sometimes I just like just when the Word of God's being read, just to close my eyes and allow for the Word of God to just be spoken. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius, the governor of Syria, all returned to their ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from a village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time for her baby to be born had come. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available to them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angels reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I will bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the Joseph, and there was a baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as... So, how many of you have heard those verses read, not just last night? You heard them this morning, obviously. You've heard them read before. Maybe you heard them as a child. And I remember hearing them as a child before I met Christ in a real way. And it was just, wow, that's a good story. It meant, for lack of a better statement, really nothing to me. It didn't provide hope. It didn't provide peace. It didn't provide a light for my path. It didn't provide comfort. It didn't provide any wisdom or knowledge. It was just words that were read to me or a nice story from a good book. And I didn't know what the numbers were after the name Luke. But now, I hear these verses and we dig in a little bit, and there's so much. There's so much. So we're just going to leave Christmas on the screen. And I just want to walk through. Let's talk about the first three verses. In those days. I'm going to pull the mic out of my pocket because I keep pinching a wire or something. It keeps cutting out and I'm driving the sound people crazy. So I'm just going to set it here on. Hey, no secrets, guys. There's a mic pack in my pocket. It's now on the table. There we go. Okay. In those days, a decree went out by Caesar Augustus. Now, this census. How many of you have ever participated in a census? You know, you get that thing in the mail, you throw it on the table, it tells you it's federal law that you have to fill it out. Rachel thought that we were both going to have federal warrants put out in our name, that we were going to jail if we never filled this thing out, okay? She's like, you have to mail that in. You have to mail that in. I'm like, babe, we got this. We got it, okay? So you mail it in, you send it in. They just want to know who's being accounted for, okay? This is the first one. It was an enrollment. They were making sure, and it's just making sure that we understand that that got them to travel back, okay? It's not a miraculous feat here in these verses. It's not huge for us to understand this, but it got them to travel back to Joseph's hometown, okay? Now, I want to focus on the miraculous feat of the traveling. Joseph is a godly man. It's about 85 to 90 miles, the quickest route to get back. Now, this past summer, I traveled on my bike. We planned to do a 100-mile trip. Now, I'm very thankful that one of the gentlemen that we were with had a back wheel that was not good. He didn't blow out his tire or his inner tube. He blew out his back wheel, all the spokes. There's a lot of power going to that back wheel if you blow out the spokes. Now, at about mile 70, it started going bad. And I couldn't have been more thankful that we started asking the questions, should we go back to the car? Because I did not want to do another 30 miles. And I was not with a pregnant woman. I was with two tired older men. So we're only a few verses in here, and there's already a miracle happening, and Jesus hasn't been born yet. How many of you have had a pregnant wife before or been around a pregnant woman? I don't want to travel 85, 90 miles by donkey or foot with any of you, let alone a pregnant person that's due soon. Pastor Larry and Phyllis are expecting, what grandchild are you expecting? What number? 22, their 22nd grandchild. Possibly on the 26th. I'm going to share my birthday. It's okay. But they're going to travel by car a few miles to the hospital. But there's a miraculous feat happening here. It's amazing. So, I'm astonished by that. I don't know about you. But that just hits me. Now, when they're there, verse 6 and 7, while they are there, she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Now, if you go back to Luke chapter 1, Luke provided so much detail about Elizabeth and her birth to her son. And Luke describes a lot about the meaning and the importance of a son. And for the mothers in the room, there's something about a son. There's something about the relationship between a son and a mother. I got home last night. It was a little bit before 11 p.m., and it was purposeful. I was hoping that Lennon was asleep. I said those words to the people that were still here with me. He said, "We're here late." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm just praying Lennon's asleep." The results came back quickly. My son was not asleep. And he came running down the steps when I got home. And he told me about his experience with mommy. And I went upstairs and he put him to sleep. And this morning, Rachel and I had a great conversation about her and her son and the relationship. So you're getting to see why men are the way that they are. It's because we get a very good glimpse of women at a young age. And the importance of this relationship and the importance of what it means to be a son and the importance of being the firstborn, just digging into that, I urge you to do it. But she wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a feeding trough. Now, Luke mentions the word manger three times in verse 7 and 12 and 16, and it really emphasizes the importance of a manger. If you read these 20 verses over and over and over again, the manger is talked about a lot. A manger, a manger, a manger, a manger. And why do we talk about this manger so much? And it really confirms the fact that what he was wrapped in wasn't too important, because we wrap babies, right? We wrap babies in snuggly things and swaddling cloths, and you learn how to wrap a baby like a burrito. That's one of the only things they teach you in the hospital. They give you this living, breathing thing and send you home with it. And the first thing you do when you get in a car is you look at each other like, what do we do? All they taught us how to do was wrap it in a blanket. That's all they really taught us how to do. And I'm not even confident in that. I do, anyways. But usually babies, they get a crib. They get really nice things. But not Jesus. Why? You know, this manger is a distinct contrast to what we think our King's glorious entry to the world should have been. You think of a king being born. What do you think of? I don't think of the meal that Joseph and Mary probably ate the night before he was born. I think of them being at the Grand Concourse for one of their buffets. I don't think of the smell that the manger probably had. I think of a glorious entry for the birth of a king. But no, they stayed in a pretty rough place because there was no room in the inn. No room. There was no Airbnb. There was no Vrbo. There was no Holiday Inn Express. There wasn't even a Red Roof Inn. There wasn't even a siesta, whatever that one is, up on 30 next to AutoZone. The one has the half fence by the doors. That wasn't even open. But that word, the inn, it lets us know that there wasn't even public accommodations available for the king. There wasn't even a guest room available for our Savior to be born in. Just a manger, a storage area for animals. Above the manger, guests would stay usually. That wasn't even where they were at. Now, you would expect, given Joseph's connections in Bethlehem, he probably knew some people. He probably knew a guy. No room. All the accommodations were full. Jesus is in the midst of those whom he will serve. The poor, the marginal, the vulnerable, the downtrodden, the broken, the stinky. And you may be thinking, I'm not poor. I'm not vulnerable. I do not. I'm not just speaking of physical things. When we come to Jesus, every single one of us must come to him vulnerably. Every single one of us has stink. Every single one of us must come to him and say, Lord, I am poor. I have nothing without you. That is who he serves. And when we realize that we are poor, we are vulnerable, we are broken, we are downtrodden, and we are stinky, that's who he can serve. That is where he does his best work, in a manger. I wish we had hay to throw on the floor today. Kevin and Kim are very happy we don't. But if we did right now, I would throw a whole bunch of hay and some other stuff on the floor. You could fill in the other stuff. Because that's the place where we all come to Jesus. We all get there. Verses 8 and 9. We're getting to the really, really, really good part here. My favorite parts of the Christmas story. There were shepherds in the same country. They were in the field. Nearby. They were watching over their flock. In this one verse, verse 8, this is the verse that speaks so much of Christmas. God chose shepherds to receive a word of the birth of our King, the lowliest of low. They were tending their fields. They probably smelled the stinkiest of the stinky. I love shepherds. One of my favorite books is called The Way of the Shepherd. If you've never read it, you should read it. I love a shepherd's heart. They just want to care. They're shepherding, and it's probably a lonely, a dirty job, and it doesn't attract people. But they're contacted. And they get to go. An angel told them. Now, moving through the verses. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. Verse 9. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in snugly strips of cloth lying in a manger. And that angel was joined by a vast host of others and armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. Peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." Now, the shepherds. I don't know about you all, but if you were at work one day, place yourself at work. Everybody ready? You're at work. Some angels show up. Now imagine an angel. Okay, I'm not talking like flying with his little... I'm talking angel. Okay? Starts telling you some things. And then a vast host of other angels start singing. Would you be terrified? I'd be a little shook. But these guys instantly said, "Let's go." I want to ride with people like that. This is the moment that we understand what Christmas is about. It's not about all the stuff. It's about Jesus. It's about the hope of the world. In this moment where the shepherds decide that they're going to just go, to go focus on Jesus, to go meet Jesus, we realize what this season's all about and what our lives should be all about. They didn't say, "I have to go tend to my sheep. I have to go find somebody to tend to my flock. I have to go pick something up at Target. I have to run to Walmart. I have to go get this one last thing at Aldi. My kids need to be tended to. I need to go tell my wife. I need to go check the calendar. My phone's not charged. I got to go change my shoes. I'm going to meet a king. I got to go change my outfit. I smell like..." That was purposeful. Okay? Listen. They just allowed for the hope of the world to be the focus. So, in our devotional today, listen, I understand it's Christmas Eve and you got a lot of stuff on your plate. You probably still have some stuff to do. There's 5 men in this room that haven't Christmas shopped yet. And there's probably a few more that just didn't want the people around them to know. "I just got to run out, grab a couple things." Yeah. Good luck. Love you. But it's about the hope of the world. All the other stuff, it takes care of itself whenever we focus on what's most important. The glory of the Lord surrounded them. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go. Let's go. Let's just go. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." I always feel uncomfortable reading it when it says, "Let's see this thing." Because they didn't even know. Like, let's see this thing. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God all the while, and had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Does anybody know my favorite word? Anybody know it? Starts with a P, ends with a perspective. Anybody know it? Perspective. That's a really good hint I gave you, wasn't it? That's my favorite word, perspective. For years, I would I was envious of other pastors and other men of God in my life that say that this is my life message. This is what God's given me to do and to walk out. And I want that. I really want that. I want that. I want that. God, give me that. And just one day in my devotion time, God said, Nick, you're going to be a perspective changer. You're going to change the perspective of people about me, about my kingdom, about my church. I just want you to change people's perspective, the way that they see, the way that they saw things. Perspective is part of my life message. But this last month, reading these verses, I think my second favorite word now is astonished. Third favorite word, because awe, A-W-E. I love that one. All the people remained in awe of God. Acts 2, sorry. But astonished is, why were people astonished? They were astonished by what the shepherds told them. And we're getting ready to wrap up our time this morning. We're not going to be together super long, but we, after removing duplicates, and we had 515 people here at church last night at the White Oak campus. And I think of every single person that left here last night. If every single person left here and told every single person that they talked to in the next few days what they experienced, what they saw, what they heard from Jesus, I think people would be astonished. We have our huddle before we have our Sunday morning experience every single week. And some people shared some stories. And I was just astonished of just a few stories that we got to hear of what people saw, heard, or experienced last night that helped us see that we're fulfilling the vision that God gave us as Bridge City Church. So through the remainder of the Christmas season, share what God's done in your life. Share what Jesus is doing in your life. And just be real open and vulnerable, just as you were when you came to Jesus. And allow for people to be astonished. Allow for them to be astonished, just as the people that heard from the shepherds. You know, I love when people come to me and say, you're never going to believe this, Rob. I bet I will. Nate's going to make his way up, and we're going to just pray through our verses today. I'm going to pray over you for your Christmas celebrations and your time with friends and family. And pray over, we have 15 people signed up from the White Oak campus alone to be baptized on New Year's Eve. We're going to pray over those people. But if you're here today and you've never accepted that gift, you've never accepted the gift that Jesus offers to us every single day, and that is light and life, hope, peace, joy, forgiveness, happiness, all the above, so many things. If you've never accepted the offer of eternity and paradise with Him, accept the gift today. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Nobody in this room that ever accepted it deserved it or earned it. It wouldn't have been a gift. It would have been payment for a job. And just as I spoke last night, the payment for the job that we're all working and have all been working is death. A spiritual death. Romans 6:23 tells that, for the wages of sin is death, but God gave us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that gift is being offered to you today. It's astonishing that God gave us His Son. I'm in awe of it. And my perspective is changing every single day. I just used all three of my favorite words in an altar call. So if you're here today and you've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, may today be your day. Christmas Eve, 2023. I'm just asking you to slip your hand up and say, God, that's me. I need to come before You vulnerably, poor, broken, downtrodden, stinky, and accept the gift that You gave to us in a manger. Anyone at all today? Maybe you accepted that gift and you tried to return it and you want to pick it back up. Anyone at all? Thank you, Jesus. The word says that heaven rejoices when even one comes back home. Anyone else today? Father God, we thank You so much for Your Son. We thank You for who You are and who we get to be because of You. Lord, we thank You for what You're doing, what You've done, and what You're going to do. Lord, as we continue to celebrate, may we realize that it doesn't just have to be a few days in December, but it may be every day that we celebrate You and we walk in the peace and the hope and the light of the Lord. We are never hopeless, but we can always be hopeful because of who You are and the peace that just sitting at the foot of the cross brings. In Jesus' glorious name, and everybody said, Amen.